All signals read green. The circumstances, I sense, are immensely auspicious. What an opportunity for an oracle, if only I were such. There's only one problem that troubles me a bit. It's not a major one, but nevertheless a kind of niggling, nagging problem. And that arises from my not knowing where, as my students would put it, your heads are. There's a book I not only didn't read, but I've lost, I'm afraid forever, the author and title. It came out about 20 years ago. I read only a review of it. It was a novel, but there was an image in that that has haunted me ever since. The reviewer is citing a passage where the author is describing four of the leading protagonists in the novel. They're going down a long hill, really a mountain, I think in Russia, somewhere around there, on a bobsled. And there they go at a great clip speed. And the power of the image derives from the fact that there are the four heads lined up so close that they're almost touching. And with every swerve of the sled to take a curve, the heads just move in perfect unison and synchronicity, almost as if they were physically joined. Meanwhile, what goes on inside those heads, you would not believe. Separated by light years, one of them involved in the problems of a current affair that she is wrapped up in, and another one, I forget, some other just excruciating or totally absorbing existential situation of a very different sort. And I rarely face an audience since then that doesn't come to mind. Here we are, you know, our heads only 2 feet apart. And if I were to really gesticulate, you'd probably all turn and follow the pointing of that, you know, but inside, you know, where are you? I just feel like shouting, where are you? And of course, I don't know, and we don't have time to find out. So that is the virtue of the wisely built-in conversations that follow the lectures. I forget when mine is, but whenever that comes this afternoon, it'll be an opportunity to try to connect some things that are said this morning to where your heads happen to be. Now, not knowing where, and unable to accommodate in any case to the variety of sources from which you come to this hour in this room, there is nevertheless a very nice common stepping stone. And this derives from Barbara Brown's lecture yesterday morning. When at 6 a.m., yesterday, I phoned the airport to find out if my 7 o'clock flight from Syracuse for Chicago would be taking off. I was told, we shall decide at 7 o'clock whether to take off. And, what does one do about that? I went out. Synchronicity. I don't have these intuitions often, but somehow immediately I knew that one's going to take off. And it did. And I'm very grateful. I was relaxed because, of course, my duties didn't begin until later in the day, but I'm so grateful because I heard Barbara Brown. And I can scarcely imagine a better lead-in or way to lead in to what I would like to say than what she said in her hour. Let me just review the chief points. First, 75% of illness is now estimated to derive from stress. Some, she said, put it at 90%. Second, this stress does not arise from threats to our physical well-being. Rather, it arises from threats to our social well-being, our job situation, promotions, slights that we receive, or our marital and family involvement. We're worried about our social well-being. That's what causes stress. Third, the stress doesn't lie in the situation or the external environment. These have no meanings in themselves. They're capable of taking on all kinds of meanings depending on the meaning that we clothe them with. It is we who give meanings to our situations by the way we see them.